Hello and welcome to English Digest. My name is Tim.
My name is Mary Beth.
All right. Well, today is June the 28th, and we're on the second part of our science unit. Oh, yes, of course. We like talking about science. At least I do. I know some people go, science is so boring. How is it boring? It's about life. It talks about all the different things that we've learned about life. So science is actually quite interesting.
Well, I'm sure when we talk about science, it's always interesting and exciting.
Indeed, I hope people think that. Well, of course, yesterday we talked about boutique babies. Yes, buying a baby. Well, not buying a baby like as in a baby that's already born, but buying eggs from women who are very smart, right? Because they went to an Ivy League school.
That's right. And you're sort of buying a baby like you would go to a boutique to find a very special item. So here, a boutique baby is a very special baby that you're sort of custom putting together. And we talked about, is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What does it mean for the children? What does it mean for the parents?
Well, exactly, because imagine this, if you genetically alter a baby so that you get exactly what you want, well, you got to be careful what you wish for sometimes, because you might think, okay, well, I've made this baby so incredibly intelligent, and they're definitely going to be a doctor because, maybe the donor is a doctor, and they're definitely going to be like this. It's like, well, wait a second, that's not the only determining factor. There's also the environment. The environment plays a huge role, because the environment is not just like the air and the water and everything else. It also has to do with the social environment that's involved also.
That is definitely true. I mean, you can take a smart kid and put that kid in a very sort of tough environment, not that many sort of intellectual stimulations, and maybe that kid will still do very well. But on the other hand, you don't know. How is that kid going to react to that environment?
Well, exactly. Maybe you have a kid that maybe their IQ is not so huge. Maybe they're not so smart when they take that IQ test, But maybe, just maybe, they're really hard workers. They're really good at working hard, and they end up being able to get a really great education. So we have to be very careful when we think that, his IQ is so huge, so he must be so smart. Well, you know what? Maybe he's not that smart. Maybe he's just lazy.
Exactly. I mean, I think these kind of standardized tests don't really measure that much, because some people say some can do naturally well on these kinds of tests. Other people have like test anxiety, and other people can really just, do well just for just whatever reason. So it's not really a good test.
No, it's not really a good test because, again, it's culturally biased. You have to realize that depending on somebody's life experiences, where they grew up or how they grew up, that's going to affect their score on the test.
That's right. They say that in the States, the tests to get into college, the SATs, that those are biased towards white, middle income and above people because of the questions that are on there, and also because of the education that they receive, that they're receiving in general a slightly better education than somebody who's a minority living in a poorer area.
Well, I totally agree with that because, I've actually had to teach the SAT test a few times to a few different students, and I think, wow, this is a really hard test. But then I just realized, just try doing it. Now, of course, a lot of people think, it's so hard because the vocabulary is so hard. Well, you know what you have to do? You have to read books. That's the only way to increase your vocabulary. Of course, using that vocabulary helps, but you have to expose yourself to those new vocabularies, and then perhaps you'll do well on the SAT test.
And just because you do well in one area, for example, I welled on the vocabulary. I did very well, I guess, because I read a lot when I was a kid and I liked to write, but on the math, I did so bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I wouldn't even tell you my score.
Okay, well, don't worry about it, because obviously you did well enough on the SAT test to actually go to university.
I did indeed.
And which university did you go to?
I actually went to two. I went to a State University of New York for 2 years, then I transferred to Fordham University in Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And you study journalism, right?
Well, actually, my degree is in mass and media communications with a specialization in journalism.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Now, did you like your program?
I did indeed. I had some really great teachers. And what was great is that we were in New York. We were right in New York City. So there were so many job opportunities for me. That's why I left my other school, because it was sort of in the middle of nowhere. I had really wonderful teachers there. There was a good journalism and theater program. But in New York, there were a lot more writing opportunities. I got a job at a magazine, for example, when I was a junior in college.
Oh, really? That's pretty incredible. Well, of course, for me, university was just a great experience. And you know why?
Why?
Because I got to party a lot.
Party.
That's right. I met a lot of people. I met a lot of friends in university. And that's what I really learned in university was just socialization skills. I mean, yes, I went to class. I learned some subjects. And yes, some of those subjects were quite interesting. However, a lot of the subjects I took, I had to take. And I didn't find them that interesting. So it was very difficult in that way. When I wasn't interested in something, I usually didn't get a very good mark. But if I was interested in something, oh, yeah, man, I wanted to go to that class all the time.
Well, you know what? People learn in different ways, and that's okay. It's best to know what works for you and follow that. Some people don't need to go to classes religiously. They can just learn enough from the textbook, or they're just naturally smart. Other people, like me, have to bone up and study like a mad person. But you know what? I know that's what I have to do, and if I have to study, I do it.
That's a good thing indeed. Well, you know what? Let's move on, and let's go to today's dialogue.
Classmates Frank and Lillian meet on the Harvard campus.
Hi, Lillian. Cramming for your midterms?
Actually, I'm pondering this ridiculous ad that's offering $50,000 for my Ivy League eggs.
Oh, yes. My wife told me about that. She was wondering if there was something deficient with her eggs, as she only graduated from the University of Toronto.
That's why it's so ridiculous. They are assuming that just because I attend Harvard, my eggs will likewise develop into Harvard grads.
You have to admit that parents have always wanted to give their children every advantage.
So it's okay for a parent to try and gain a genetic advantage for his or her offspring?
You're right. That's excessive. I favor nurture in the nature-nurture issue. It's hard to conceive that Harvard genes are a substitute for a supportive household that values and encourages education.
Agreed. If psychologists can teach pigeons to play ping pong, then how much greater the effect of nurture must be for people.
I take it you won't be considering the offer?
No, I'm afraid I don't quite measure up.
But you scored 1,400 on your SATs.
Yes, but they want a donor who is 177 centimeters. I'm only 174 centimeters.
Wow, that is so completely ridiculous. You want a donor that's a certain height?
And I'm sure they want a certain eye color and hair color as well. You're right, this is totally ridiculous.
Well, exactly. Think of it this way. Because, let's say she's only 174 centimeters, maybe she didn't eat a very good diet when she was younger, and she would have been 177 centimeters. See, the environment can affect the way that you grow up, the way that you look when you get older.
Or maybe if she is 177 centimeters, maybe she has some health problems. And I think when you do this, you're supposed to write down what your health problems are. But who's going to stop you from lying? So you really don't know what you're getting.
Well, indeed. And now I see this University of Toronto. Only graduated from the University of Toronto. Well, you know what? I graduated from the University of Toronto, and many people do, and the University of Toronto is a very good school. I went there, so it must be a good school.
It is indeed, and if Tim had eggs to give, well, I bet they would be great eggs, because he went to the University of Toronto.
Exactly, but I have no eggs to give. Sorry, guys. All right, well, let's take a look at this line by line. Classmates Frank and Lillian meet on the Harvard campus. So they're classmates that go to school together. And we have Frank, who's the boy, and Lillian, who's the girl. And where do they meet? Where do they go and see each other? On the Harvard campus. So on the campus, well, that's the grounds of the university or college or school or whatever. So they're meeting at Harvard.
And Frank says, "Hi, Lillian. Cramming for your midterms." So he greets her and he asks a question. Are you cramming for your midterms? Now, midterms are the tests in the middle of the term, in the middle of the semester. And if you're cramming for something, well, you're studying very, very hard to try to get this information into your head. So he's asking her, are you studying very, very hard for these midterms?
Then Lillian says, actually, I'm pondering this ridiculous ad that's offering $50,000 for my Ivy League eggs. So in actuality, she's going to tell the truth now. In a way, she's being frank, right? Because when we say frank, that also can mean honest. Well, she's being honest. I'm pondering. So if you're pondering something, you're thinking about something. She's pondering this ridiculous ad. Now, if something's ridiculous, we know if something is ridiculous, it's just kind of stupid. It's kind of idiotic. It doesn't make any sense. Because this ad is offering $50,000 for her Ivy League eggs. Now, of course, she goes to an Ivy League school because that is Harvard. Harvard is one of the Ivy League schools. And so her eggs, you could say they're Ivy League eggs, because remember, when you use Ivy League, it's like an adjective. If you use it in front of a school, then you're describing the type of school that it is. And because she goes there, you could say that she has Ivy League eggs. And she's saying, this is ridiculous. This is really silly that somebody would offer $50,000 for my eggs.
Well, yeah, just because she goes to an Ivy League school doesn't mean she necessarily has Ivy League eggs, which is what we've been talking about. Then Frank says, oh, yes, my wife told me about that. So he's heard about this ad from his wife. She was telling him about it. She was wondering if there was something deficient with her eggs, as she only graduated from the University of Toronto. So she's thinking about this ad, and she was wondering, is there something wrong or something less good about my eggs? Are they deficient? Because she only graduated from the University of Toronto. She didn't go to an American Ivy League school. She went to just the University of Toronto. But as Tim said, it's a pretty good school.
You're darn right it's a good school, because you can learn anything at that school. Of course, there's a lot of good schools in Canada. There's a lot of good schools all around the world. I wouldn't even, ever say there's one best school. I think there's only one best school, or many best schools, for the individuals. It depends on you as an individual. You have to decide what school is best for you. And then Lillian says, that's why it's so ridiculous. Now, of course, she's saying, that's why it's so silly, because, this guy, Frank, has his wife who says, my eggs aren't worth as much because I only came from the University of Toronto. And she's saying, that is silly. That doesn't make any sense. They are assuming that just because I attend Harvard, my eggs will likewise develop into Harvard grads. So they're assuming. Now, assume. If you assume something, you think somebody about someone else. And you know what? You should never assume anything, because you don't know. You should know things, not just assume things. And she's saying that they're assuming, just because I attend Harvard, just because she goes to Harvard, this Ivy League school, that her eggs will likewise develop into Harvard grads. So when we say likewise, what do we mean by that, Mary Beth?
That they will also develop into Harvard grads. She went to Harvard, and then her eggs would grow into kids who would then go to Harvard and graduate.
That is ridiculous. You can't assume something like that, again, because we talked about it yesterday. The fact is that there's genetics and there's the environment. There's nature versus nurture. And she's saying this is just ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense to think just because I went to Harvard that any babies that came from me, any eggs that came from me, would make babies that also came from Harvard. She doesn't agree with this.
Frank has an interesting point, though. He says you have to admit that parents have always wanted to give their children every advantage. So you have to admit, you have to say that it's true that parents have always wanted to give children every advantage. An advantage is something that is a benefit. And maybe you have this advantage and other people don't have it. And if you have this advantage, this benefit, you're probably going to do better. So of course, yeah, parents want their children to have every advantage possible. We all know that's true.
Definitely, that is true, but they can also give them advantages by the way that they raise their children. If you raise your children in a really good way, a productive way, a caring way, an educating way, then that will also give them an advantage, and perhaps it'll give them an advantage over somebody who's been genetically modified. Perhaps that could be the case. Well, let's move on here. And of course, Lillian then says, so it's okay for a parent to try and gain a genetic advantage for his or her offspring? So she's saying, is this okay? Is that an okay thing to try and gain, to try and get a genetic advantage, a genetic benefit for your offspring, for your children? Well, perhaps it is okay for that, but you got to remember that you also want to give them the environmental advantage. You want to make sure that you give them a good environment to live in.
Frank says, you're right, that's excessive. So she's posing this question saying, so it's okay to do this for your kids? And he's thinking about it, and he's like, well, yeah, you are right, that is excessive, that's a little bit too much. I favor nurture in the nature-nurture issue. Now, this is a very interesting psychological theory, nature and nurture, that people develop because of two different things. One is nature, their genes, and the other one is nurture, their environment. That's the issue, that's the theory. So So he thinks nurturing, he favors nurturing. He thinks that makes much more sense to, as Tim said, give a very good environment to your kids, and that will give them advantages that maybe even if they don't have natural advantages, nurturing is much, much more important. It's hard to conceive that Harvard genes are a substitute for a supportive household that values and encourages education. Well, here we've got nurture right there. It's hard to believe, it's hard to think that these genes are a substitute, that they're somehow better than a supportive household, a household where the parents support the kids. They give them good values, they encourage education. Well, I think this is much more important.
Well, I agree with you. It's like, be very supportive of your children. Help them, teach them when you can. If they're having trouble with their homework, you know what? You, as the parent, would probably be their best teacher to help them out with that, if you can do that kind of work. I know sometimes, you know, when I was growing up and I'd have some problem, you know, math problems, because you're learning in school, you're learning how to do math. And I'd go to my mother and I'd say, hey, Mom, can you help me out with this? And she'd be like, oh, no, honey. No. Go talk to your father. And I'd be like, oh, no, I got to go talk to my father, because he'd always show me this really, you know, easy way. In a way, for him, it was easy because it was the quick way. And I was like, well, what are you doing? I don't understand. Because I was only a kid, I was learning it, you know, just learning it for the first time, basically. So it was much more difficult that way. But he was a good teacher because he did let me know that math is a really cool thing. You know what? We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to look at the rest of today's dialogue. So make sure you don't go too far, because we'll be right back. Welcome back. If you just joined us, we're on the second day of Boutique Babies, and we're having this conversation between Frank and Lillian, and of course, they're talking about the nature-nurture issue because, well, Lillian saw this ad and she thought, huh? I can sell my egg for $50,000 just because I go to Harvard? She thought that was ridiculous, and Frank thinks it is too. Well, Lillian then says, agreed. If psychologists can teach pigeons to play ping pong, then how much greater the effect of nurture must be for people? So she agrees that nurture is more important than nature in some ways. If you nurture your child, it can make all the difference. Because if psychologists, now a psychologist is a doctor of psychology, can teach pigeons, well, a pigeon is a bird, and if they can teach these birds to play ping pong, the birds can play ping pong. That is so weird.
Pigeon ping pong, I'd like to see that.
Well, so would I. Well, then, if they can play ping pong, then how much greater the effect of nurture must be for people? Imagine this. If you can teach a bird how to play ping pong, then certainly you can teach your child how to add, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 × 2 = 4. You can easily teach your children because, hey, if somebody can put in a lot of effort to teach a pigeon how to play ping pong, then certainly parents can put in some effort. Maybe not as much effort as that, because that would be an awful lot of effort. You wouldn't be able to go to work or anything. But you know what? Maybe your kids would be worth it. Maybe your kids would turn out much better if you put that kind of effort into them.
Well, psychologists have done a lot of studies. They've taken different classes of kids, classes who were supposedly smarter, classes who weren't that smart, and then they would nurture, for example, the class that wasn't that smart, and maybe they wouldn't be so nice to the smart class. And almost all the times, 9 times out of 10, the lower class that was nurtured, that was encouraged, they actually really were able to raise their scores. So that just shows how important nurturing is.
Well, it's difficult, I think, when you look at classrooms, and oftentimes the teachers will like the bright students, will like the students that are, you know, maybe good-looking, they're beautiful students, so they want to help them more, they want to do more for those students, and then you got the kid, you know, who really isn't very well-liked and maybe, you know, not very smart, and oftentimes they're going to be left out, they're not going to learn that much in school.
That's right, they fall through the cracks, they fall through the net, and I think it's a teacher's responsibility to give as much attention to every single student in her classroom or his classroom, and I'm sure you all do that.
Well, I'm sure that most teachers try as hard as they can, and I think that that's the thing we all have to realize, that when you are a teacher, you have tremendous power over your students. You can really help them, you can encourage them, but you can also make it so they don't want to go to your class anymore, and that's not what you really want. You want your students to learn what you have to teach. Well, then Frank says, I take it you won't be considering the offer. So now, of course, when you consider something, you think about something, and he says, I take it. Now, if you say that, if I say, I take it that you're going to do this or that you're not going to do this, he's saying, I understand that this is what you're going to do or not going to do. This is what I think you're going to do or not going to do. So he's saying, I think that you won't be thinking about the offer, that you're not going to want to do this, to give your eggs to get $50,000. So he's saying, from what you're saying, from what you've been talking about, I think you don't agree with this and that you wouldn't actually do this.
Lillian says, no, I'm afraid I don't quite measure up. So she's obviously not considering it. Frank is right. She's not thinking about it. She's saying, I'm afraid there's a problem here. I don't quite measure up. Now, we already know she's only 174 centimeters and not 177 centimeters. But I think there's a different meaning here of measure up.
Well, if you say measure up, I don't measure up to that, means I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to give my eggs to somebody, or I'm not good enough to play in the NBA. I could say, I just don't measure up. I'm not tall enough, and I'm probably not good enough to play in the NBA.
But Frank is confused. He says, hey, you scored 1,400 on your SATs. That's a pretty good score. I think a perfect score is, what, 1,600?
Is it really? I don't know, because I didn't have to take this test in Canada.
Oh, you don't take the SATs in Canada?
No, it's just based on your marks.
Oh, gee, that's pretty nice. I didn't know that. Gee, I should have gone to school in Canada. Anyway, so your SATs, we said, are the tests that you need to get into college, and they're very important. And 1,400, well, that's pretty high. I think 1,600 is the highest. So he's confused. Hey, you did so well. You got such a high score. How can you not measure up?
Well, and then she says, yes, but they want a donor who is 177 centimeters. I'm only 174 centimeters. Well, they want a donor. They want somebody, you know, to donate their eggs, a person to donate their eggs. That is 177 centimeters. Well, that seems a little bit too exact. It's like, what, if somebody's 178 centimeters, you don't want them? If somebody's 176 centimeters, you don't want them? That's ridiculous. She says, I'm only 174 centimeters. 3 centimeters? That's like, what, that's like an inch and something. That's not even 2 inches. That's hardly any difference at all.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that they want somebody who's 177 centimeters. Does that mean that people who are taller are somehow better? I don't think so.
I don't think so. In fact, if I had to pick a donor, I'd pick a donor that was only 4 feet tall, just to see what would happen.
Oh, always contrary, always the rebel, that Tim.
Well, you know, it just seems kind of ridiculous because it doesn't matter how tall somebody is. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter about their hair color. It doesn't matter about any of those things because beauty comes from inside. Intelligence comes from inside. It matters how smart you are. But even then, it doesn't matter because it matters how you use that intelligence, not anything else.
That's right, baby. It's what's inside that counts. Beauty is only skin deep, and you can be beautiful in so many other ways besides physical beauty, and you can be smart in a lot of ways, not just book smart. Again, you could be really good with people. You can have people smarts. That's also really important.
Well, indeed, and it's good to have a balance. Now, everybody, it's always good to have social skills. Some people have better social skills than others, but you know what? The people that don't have those social skills, people shouldn't pick on those people. They don't know them that well. Now, I wasn't, say, a geek in high school. I don't think I was. Other people might tell you different, but I would go and talk to everyone. I didn't care. There was the people, you know, the guys in the chess club. I'd go and talk to them. Why not? They're still people. And I talked to the cool people, and I talked to the people that were outside, standing outside. You know what they were doing outside. And of course, I would talk to all these people because you know what? People are just people, and if you don't get to know them, then how can you tell them or say to them that they're a bad person? You don't even know them.
I think Tim raises some really good points. I know in Asian countries and also in other countries as well, bullying is such a problem in schools and even in the workplace. Bullying is ridiculous. It's stupid. Why do it? You should treat people, everyone the same, just as you want to be treated.
Exactly. Treat others the way that you want them to treat you. You know what, though? We're going to have to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have today's sentence of the day. So don't go away.
Sentence for the day.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, now it's time for today's sentence of the day. Hey, Mary Beth, what is today's sentence of the day?
Today's sentence is, they're choosing it for good measure.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, remember we said measure up in the dialogue. We were talking about how somebody isn't good enough or is good enough. So if you're choosing something for good measure...Perhaps you're choosing it for a good reason. You have a very good reason to choose that thing. And that's what this means. Now, if you choose something for good measure, let's say you choose a very good basketball because, you know what, you want to really learn how to play with a good basketball. Well, you could say that you're choosing it for good measure. There's a good reason to choose that. Now, of course, how does that relate to today's show?
Well, I would say that these parents who are thinking about buying Ivy League eggs, they're making these choices. They're doing it for a benefit for their children. They're not doing it to harm them, even though we're questioning, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? We know that these parents are doing it for good measure. They're doing it to try to help their kids.
Exactly. Now, of course, every parent wants their children, their child, to have an advantage. They want them to be successful. So if parents do decide...You know, hey, I got to get some good eggs. Well, you know what? Then that's a decision that you're making. But at least remember, the environment is very important. And you can't just, you know, get this egg and then make a baby and then go, okay, good, I got a smart baby, and then kind of shut it in a box or something. You have to teach that child. And if you do, then maybe you will get what you want, but maybe you won't. So be careful what you hope for. All right. Well, you know what? We got to go. Make sure you tune in again to ED. For now, my name is Tim.
I'm Mary Beth.
See ya.
Bye.